Episode 59 of Hello Hello Kopi Kamilo Podcast. We have Ian Francis Koo, the frontman, guitarist, pianist, drummer, bassist of The Filters. I guess he's a frontman of The Filters, but he's also a pianist, a drummer, a bassist, and a songwriter. All in all, creative motherfucker. Enjoy the podcast. If you want to get to know Ian Francis Koo and get to know how he got started with the theater scene, press play and just listen harder, bro. Thank you for coming to the podcast. If you are looking for the visuals, this episode has the visuals. It's available on youtube.com/MiloFico. P.S. His podcast is recorded in the car. Thank you for your support, ladies and gentlemen. Nah, and ladies, just ladies and gentlemen. Okay, this is Hello Hello Kopi Kamilo Podcast. Today we have Ian Francis Koo in the car. Not in the building, but in the car.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast, bro.
Thank you.
For the listeners who don't already know who you are, how would you describe yourself?
How would I describe myself? Mm-hmm. As in, like, what do I do, or...
I don't know.
How would I describe myself as a person?
Yeah, as a person.
I'd like to believe that I'm generally laid back, mm-hmm. pretty chill.
Yeah.
Really into music, I guess.
How did you first discover your talent for music, man?
How did I first discover my talent for music?
Yeah. When do you realize, like, shit, this thing is for me?
My parents will tell you one story.
Okay.
I would tell you another. But according to my mom and dad, there was one family dinner that we were attending when I was really, really young. Mm-hmm. And I was banging along with chopsticks on a plastic plate to the beat of whatever was playing. And they were like, oh, wow. I think our kid can play music. Yeah, I'm serious.
Damn.
And I was like, what? Like, I don't recall this, like, at all. But then they decided to try me out for music.
Classes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which then I turned out to be very terrible at.
So you are...
No, I'm serious. Yeah.
So you went for music classes, like piano?
I went for piano, and then I quit after the first grade.
Because it sucks? I mean, the learning process...
Okay, no. Like, playing piano doesn't suck.
Oh, okay.
Like, don't be discouraged. Do go and learn piano if that's something that you like. But it wasn't for me because piano is very technical. Mm-hmm. It's very notation-based. Yeah. And I can't read notes. So that was, like, the main issue. So
how young were you back then?
I started playing piano when I was... seven, I think.
Seven, shit, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so right now you're the frontman of The Filters, right?
Yes.
Is this the first ever project or the band you've been on?
This is like the, I guess you could say, like, the first serious project mm-hmm. that I've ever embarked on. Yeah. Like, before that, I was, like, tinkering around with, like, my own material, I guess. But this is, like, the first fully collaborative process with other people and, like, you know, where we actually recorded music and we play music live for people.
Damn. Like, so properly. You also went to audio school, right? Audio school? Is that music school or audio engineering?
No. Audio engineering. Damn. Yeah. I mean, because I would assume that if you go and study music, you would study music theory and history and whatnot, but we learned mainly, like,
engineering.
Yeah, the audio engineering side of things,
mastering,
mixing, mastering. I mean, that's like the tip of it. You know, we also learned, like, audio posts for video editing, and a smattering of other things. But yeah,
so. Tell me again, bro. Like, how did the process of you falling in love with theater production? Yeah, I know. Like,
okay.
It feels like a deja vu because we've been through this conversation before.
Okay.
Like, how you tell the rest of the world? How did theater choose you?
How did theater choose me? I went to do my internship mm-hmm. at Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Center.
Shout out
to KLPAC, which actually my sister suggested to mm-hmm. me and helped. Like,
because your sister been in theater, she's an actress.
Yes. Kind of thing. Yes. And then I was tied to this production called Loser Town. Shout out to Loser Town, definitely. And it started from there. I was tasked with playing music for that show, and now it's been 2 years doing theater.
And is it any different than performing live as a frontman, as a singer, as a guitarist, comparison with doing it for a show?
Yes, definitely.
Satisfaction sure. wise, what would you say? Well, I mean, it's unfair to, for the. I mean, it's not unfair. I mean, just be frank. You know,
okay.
Like personally, like, which one gives more satisfaction from 1 to 10?
I think playing a show for, like, when you're doing it with your band, mm-hmm. that probably has more satisfaction. Mm-hmm. But that's also because it's not as stressful as doing a theater show.
It's not like as structured. Is that
yes. Yeah. I mean, not that Loser Town was structured. That was not structured at all. But because you're not thinking about, you know, hitting like specific like visual cues or anything, because it's all like music based when you're playing with your band. But then like when it's theater, it's like you have to make sure that what you're doing lines up with what's going on. Like, you know, what's going on stage with the actors and making sure that, you know, everything is like cohesive and runs according to plan. So that can be kind of stressful, but it's nice. Yeah. It's still nice, you know, to it's very different. Like audience reaction is always very different. Cool. Like band show and theater show. It's
what was the best memory performing live as a band?
As a band?
With a band, yeah. As a frontman.
There was one show that we played last year at the B, mm-hmm. because that was that's the first venue that we've ever played together as a band, and then we played one really really bad show at the B, like when we were starting out, like we totally bombed, and because of that show, we were like, okay, we're never going back to the B again, because we didn't want to show our faces there again, because we were like really embarrassed. But then last year, we were suggested to go and try again, and it was much better. And that was really nice.
I guess that the first show was important to like sort of introduce you to the whole intimate performance.
Yes.
Because the B is kind of small, so it's yeah, kind of yeah, yeah. intimate. It's like, could be intimidating at times.
Yes, right? It is. Especially like, no, okay, also when we returned last year, I think they had renovated, so it was much bigger.
Oh. And
playing wise, that's one. But then that show that we played at the B, the one where we bombed, it was back when like, because it was an open mic as well. And when you're doing an open mic in a setting where people are also eating, mm-hmm. it's very easy to tell when you've lost your audience.
Really?
Because when people are having a meal, and if they don't like what they're hearing, they're just going to go back to eating their meal or talking to... So you know when you've messed up,
yeah.
right? Compared to like the show that we played last year where it was a proper show, mm-hmm. it's much easier to connect with the audience because you don't have like the prospect of having a meal get in the way of watching a show, because mm-hmm. it's just a show, mm-hmm. you know. So that was
do you feel like right now you're in the right path, man? I know this is a bit like, whoa, where are we going with this, Milo? Right, but do you feel like you're on the right path?
I would like to believe so, yes.
Yeah. Do you think, do you consider yourself lucky to be able to find yourself to be on the right path? Or it's not, it's just, meh, it's just, everyone should be able to do it, or it's just you are lucky that you're able to find yourself?
I, to a certain extent, I think I do feel a tad bit lucky, because, you know, so, I mean, a lot of people, there are still people who are trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives, mm-hmm. I guess.
This is like probably the majority of the world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly, right. You know, so I guess I feel lucky in the sense that at least I know that music is something that I want to do for mm-hmm. a very long time. So I feel lucky in that sense. Mm. Whether or not it's the right path, I don't know, but I do feel lucky.
How does it feel like to be on the right path? What is the indication that, oh shit, this is the right thing? I'm satisfied, or I'm contented with what I'm doing right now.
Well, maybe I don't really know for a fact that, you know, this is right, but music is pretty much all I've known. So the fact that I'm still doing it, I guess that's a pretty good indicator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For those who don't know what they want, I mean, I'm sure you have crossed paths with people like, maybe not, you have crossed paths with people who are not sure with what they want to do in life, right? What would your suggestion be? Like, maybe they don't have that chopsticks.
Right, that chopsticks, sorry.
That chopsticks that set the path.
That inciting incident.
Yeah. Let's just say they are in their mid-30s. Oh, ooh, shit, it's a bit too
wow.
late. Right?
Yeah. No, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. Okay. I think. I mean,
hear that, guys? Wise words.
No, not at all. I don't. But no, it's definitely never too late. I know somebody who picked up an instrument like in their older age, and it's really like delving deep into learning that instrument and trying to enhance that skill. And he's old. He's proper old. But he, you know, he's found his passion even in this time. So I'd say it's never too late.
How much effort does it take to get to where you are today, man? Or is it like inborn talent? Like,
no, it's musical? Not. It's definitely not inborn talent. It's something that can be trained. It just really depends on how much time and effort you are willing to put into it. I won't not acknowledge that talent does have something to do with it, because there are people who are just way more talented and maybe they might have it easier, but it's definitely not something that isn't like, it's something that is attainable if you work hard enough and persevere at it. It's definitely something that you can achieve.
How do you improve? How do you gauge your level of improvement, like from getting started to, how do you improve yourself? You know, this is not like life. This is not like, okay, like in terms of music, right? In terms of like yourself, you're a multi-instrumentalist, you right. say? So you play the piano, you play the guitar?
I play the piano, guitar, bass, and drums.
Okay, how the fuck do you get that? Right? Without getting, what's the word? Cluttered up, without getting overwhelmed.
Okay.
By the like, oh shit, I need to learn drums, I need to learn bass.
I think it stemmed out of boredom. Like, really just being bored and having the time to like pick up the instrument is probably what forced me to learn all those instruments. Because,
so okay, so that means you have to put yourself in a very boring situation.
Oh no.
That, so that you don't have any other choices to add.
I was in that. That's how it was for me.
Okay.
Not necessarily for everybody else, but yeah, I think it's hard for me to sort of stick to one like discipline or one instrument for so long, because after a while, you tend to develop like muscle memory and you tend to develop like certain habits that you attain while playing an instrument for so long. And so when you get bored with that, it's like, okay, I want to try something else. And then I would just move on to another instrument and try.
You try.
Try, yeah, just try. Just try. There's no harm in trying. Because like for the longest time, I was only playing drums and no stringed instruments, no bass or guitar. And I remember like people, okay, well, my sister specifically was like, why would you save up and spend so much money to buy a guitar if you don't even know if you can play it? And it's like, but I want to try and see if I can do it. And now I've been playing for, like, I don't know, 7 years or something.
Shit.
Yeah.
So it takes 7 years to master an instrument.
I won't even say that I've mastered it. There's so much more to learn still. I think you asked earlier, like, how do you gauge, like, whether you get better? And the truth is that you'll never know, because at some point in my life, like, maybe when I was, like, still playing guitar in, like, form four, I was like, oh, man, like, you know, I'm getting really good. And then, like, a year later, you'll look back and realize, like, man, I really wasn't that good, mm-hmm. and I'm getting better now. And then a year later, you'll look back and realize, like, oh, man, I really wasn't that great either. So you just keep learning that, you know, you're slowly improving, but you'll never realize it until one day you look back and realize, like, oh, like, I've moved from point A to point B in this span of time. Yeah.
How does it feel like to be Ian, man?
How does it feel like to be me?
Yeah, how does it feel like to be you, apart from the whole label, the whole role that you're playing in society as a musician, apart from everything? Like, how does it feel like to be Ian Koo as a human being?
Not the number.
Yeah.
Not very peaceful, I don't think.
Why so, you think?
Because there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise that has to be decluttered in my head. So yes.
Is this like throughout teenage years or?
No, this is something that's been going on for a very long time.
Do you think that this sort of like conflict and that's going on in you that resulted in you in wanting to create art? Or is that just an excuse? Is that what people say to beautify musicians? You know, oh, he's in a lot of pain, so that's why he creates beautiful art. Do you think because you're in a lot of pain, there's a lot of noise in your head, that is why that's everything comes out?
I can see the logic behind why some people might think that. But I'd like to believe that maybe making music or creating or making art is just a way to make sense of all the noise that's in my head.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, have some peace of mind. Because essentially everything that we create as a band or everything that we do, like in theater, whatever, I'd like to believe that, you know, that's the sound that you get to hear that's inside you. Yeah.
So I guess the noise in your head is sort of it's notes, it's music, or is that like it's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
Have you
ever felt like you're like screaming in your head? Is that how it feels like? Or more of a cluttered unfolded clothes, pile of clothes on your bed. Is that how it feels?
That's how it feels like.
Fuck.
Yes.
We're in the same boat. Unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
You get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
There's like
totally,
this whole
totally
like
understand.
Mass of like, it's not necessarily like intelligible, like, it's not necessarily notes. It's not necessarily words. There's just a lot of like shit. Can I?
Yeah, man. You can curse.
Okay. Yeah. There's just a lot of shit, like going on. And I guess for me, it just sounds like a lot of noise in my head.
Have you felt? Are there any days where you feel at peace? Like, oh shit, today is different. Everything is okay now.
Once in a while.
Yeah. I usually have that after a cup of coffee, man.
Oh yeah. And do you drink coffee every day?
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, but I feel like it slowly deteriorates. The effect doesn't last
right
as long as, let's say, if I don't have coffee for a week, I'll be in a complete mess.
Because your body is building a tolerance.
Yeah, but so the coffee, the first cup of flat white, will actually set everything off. That first hour, I can, I can handle anything, man. You can give me any life problems, I will settle it for you.
Okay.
By giving you the right motivation. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I feel the same, bro. But I wonder if you have ever felt at peace. if there is a method to finding peace, you know? Like some people say exercise. I mean, most of the people say it's exercise.
Right.
Waking up early, getting the right, getting enough sunlight.
Right, right.
Drink
right.
enough water, eat the right food.
Okay.
Don't smoke too much.
Right? Yeah.
That's that. But again, it comes and goes.
Mm.
You know, you can feel that peace and then it comes again.
Right.
So I feel like life is a constant battle. Right?
For sure.
Yeah, for yourself though. Like, do you feel like there's a cure to the noise, or you haven't figured it out yet?
I don't think I've figured it out yet, but yeah. I mean, for as long as I can keep decluttering that noise, then there's some momentary peace for sure. Yeah, like it's okay. So for you, it's like when you drink a cup of coffee, you feel better, right?
It's like it could be a cigarette for someone.
Right.
For Ali, for example.
Yeah, for Ali, yeah. Okay, fine. For me, maybe a cup of tea could usually help.
Mm.
Right? But for, like, what is really, like, the most peaceful thing for me is, well, it's not that peaceful, but when we've finished recording something and you get to sit back and listen to it, usually that moment is fairly peaceful. Because you know you
is that after like 10th take, re-record because at times the first recording you'll be frustrated, you could go
right,
the other way, you know? I don't know, like for yourself you just record and you'll be at peace.
No, definitely not. I was gonna say like my band has gotten into this habit of when we have new material. Because we all live so far apart from each other, so it's hard to like get together and like properly write things together. So what we would do is we would record these like kind of demos for the new material so that everybody can like sit down and hear it in full. So usually after I'm done recording a demo for the band, so this is like after mixing it and putting it together, after listening to that, then it's peaceful. Okay. Because you know this mess that I've been sitting with for a while, it's finally like a little untangled, and it's now in sort of a more like feasible medium in which I can listen to it and they can listen to it too. Right. So that's usually quite
how young are you right now, by the way? Turning 22.
Turning 22.
Like if you could go back in time, bro, like speaking to yourself again, like the younger version of you, 9 years young, what would you tell yourself? If you could give one piece of advice to that young Ian, hey man, like one piece of advice that would change the world, change your world, like change your understanding towards the world.
Oh, do things that make you happy. Yeah, do things that make you happy. I think that would be the one piece of advice that I'd give him.
You think you would understand that at 9?
No, I don't think I don't think I would. If I told a 9-year-old version of myself that, he probably wouldn't understand it, but I think that's what he would need to hear.
Have you ever dealt with depression, man?
Have I ever dealt with depression? I wouldn't want to say so because I feel like it might be disrespectful to people who actually have dealt with depression. Like there was a point in time where it was incredibly difficult to wake up or eat or leave my room or have the blinds up, just constantly being in darkness, and not being able to talk about it, and kind of just feeling stuck where you feel like you're not really regressing or progressing, like you're not moving anywhere, you're just stuck in one place. And that kind of sat with me for a really, really long time. And I think it was about the time, I think it was like during PMR, and everybody was like sort of working towards like finishing this exam. And like, oh, then after PMR, like, you get to celebrate and stuff like that. But then there was this realization that hit me where it's like, but nothing has really changed. Mm. You know, you're still stuck in the same place. It's like what you were talking about earlier, like all these like momentary, like moments of peace, because it's not eternal. You know, it's not.
You can't really put it in a bottle, sort of.
Yeah.
You can't keep it.
Exactly. You can't keep it. You know, and that was tough.
Mm.
But I wouldn't like classify it as depression. No.
I mean, how do you get out of that? Is it as time passes by, it goes away, or is there a method to deal with it?
I'm sure there are proper like methods and channels like to deal with it, and I think more people should talk about it for sure, because I looking back now, I realized that the problem that I had was that because I didn't want to burden people with it, so I stopped talking about it with people. But that was worse, because then you kind of fall into yourself even more, and then you start like overthinking things, and like, you know, because it's all on you, it's all in your head, it's all, you know, like it all just becomes your thoughts and your emotions and your, you know, like your output on the situation, when what you really need is to talk to people about it and maybe gain other people's insight on it, or yeah. So I think time and being open about the situation is key. Yeah.
You think being surrounded with close friends and family are important to self-healing? Or not really, you can make it alone.
I think it's possible to, because it depends on the person. Some people prefer to be alone and not be smothered by close friends and family. Though I think it might help. But alone time is also good.
Mm. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about music, man. How would you describe your sound? Like the sound that's in your head, or the dream sound that you want to create, if it's not a collaborative effort, if it's just me. You, but then the whole world will help you achieve it. But you are the master, the leader of the orchestra. Right, you just, I want this.
Right.
What would it be?
But
I mean, if you can pinpoint a specific genre, specific music, specific sound, or specific people who's already out there similarly.
Okay, well, I can tell you what a lot of people have told me, like what our compositions usually sound like. The words that they usually use is it's very dense, there's a lot of things going on. It's usually quite intricate and very carefully arranged. So I don't know, I really love the idea of bombarding the listener with a lot of textures, and it doesn't necessarily have to be 100% cohesive all the time, or at least not in a way that the listener can immediately understand, because the kind of, oh man, like the music that really excites me is usually songs that I really hate at first because I can't understand it.
Okay.
But then when I revisit it, I'll find something about it that, like, you know, like that really like makes me sit and think and ponder about it. Maybe composition wise or lyrically, or, you know, so to answer your question, I think the kind of sound or music that I would like to make is one that frustrates people, but eventually they can't look away or they can't stop listening to it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Oh shit.
Okay. Hello. We are just around the corner, but we'll be up real soon.
Alright.
Okay. No, but we're already here. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Alright. Okay. We'll see you soon. Bye. Oh, we are so late for work.
Matahari.
Matahari.
There's no sun today, though. Okay, yeah. Throughout your life so far, have you ever been a fan of Nirvana?
Yes, I have actually. There was a point in time where I was.
Do you think Nirvana is probably the sound that you are describing, or not really?
No. It was a phase among many phases that I've had, but it definitely, I think what drew me to their music is the sheer honesty that comes with. I mean, like, not to say that they didn't take themselves seriously, but it's just so definitely thought that went into writing their music. But you can just enjoy it on such a primal level. Like when you put it on, it's just like, you know, like it speaks to you in a very primal level.
Yeah. I mean, big credits to the producers,
of course, right? I think,
because the band itself, if you listen to them live,
right,
it's different, man.
Yes,
it's like what I love about Nirvana is that they don't give a fuck about structure. They don't give a fuck about tempo. That's, I guess, true. It's Kurt, right? It's Kurt himself. It's Kurt, he doesn't, yes, really know tempo. He doesn't know structure, right? He's just right. Like, I'm just gonna play it live now. If you guys don't like this, fuck you.
Right,
you know, right,
right, right.
So, and my guess is back in the day, like the producers,
Butch Vig, yeah,
and the other guy, is it Butch Vig for
Butch
for
Vig Nirvana? Was for Nevermind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean that era, that album.
In Utero was someone else, right?
In Utero,
Steve Albini, yeah.
For In Utero, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they must have done a lot of work to actually chop it up together. Yeah,
yes, because, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah,
but I think Butch Vig. Okay, like he, like if you watch, like, or if you read up about the way that he put together Nevermind, it was very tricky. He was very tricky with Kurt about doing things like overdubs for his guitar or for his vocals, because Kurt didn't like doing these things. But Butch Vig felt like it was right for their sound, because, you know, like, I think on one of the tracks, In Bloom.
He's the one.
Yeah, okay, In Bloom is one of them. And then there's also another one. Oh, man. I can't remember.
Let me guess. Is this on In Utero?
No. This is for Nevermind.
Okay. About a girl?
No. It's got like this, like, it's got this like freak out in the middle where like Kurt has like all these squeaky toys and he's doing like, you know, these like weird
Francis
noises.
Farmer, his...
No. That's from In Utero as well.
Okay. Oh, man. Aneurysm? No.
Oh, man, I hate myself for forgetting this song. But basically, like, there's like five layers of guitar, just guitar. Shit.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, Butch Vig would tell him like, oh, like, we didn't get the right take, let's redo this.
Mm-hmm.
But he will like record it with a different sound, and like this all sort of added up to the sound of what Nevermind eventually became to be, which was like super polished and super.
It's not Come As You Are.
It's not Come As You Are.
It's definitely not.
It's not, right. Come As You Are. Are you looking at the track listing right now?
Poly? Drain You? Lunch?
Drain You! Ah! How did I forget
I'm gonna
that?
Completely drain you!
Yes. But yes. Whereas, I think Steve Albini didn't do that as much, if I'm not mistaken. But then again, In Utero sounds so much more like, you know, I feel...
More character? In depth? Or?
Definitely more character. Because Nevermind felt a lot more polished. But that's why people love Nevermind. Because, you know, it managed to appeal to more people.
If your stuff is polished, you can sell it. If it's not that polished, then it's harder
that,
to sell.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that is sort of true. Because, yeah. I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? So, you know, it really depends what your audience wants. Because it's not to say that, like, you know... everybody wants a polished sound. It's just, it could appear, what the hell am I saying? It could appeal to more people if it was easily accessible.
Yeah.
And not too difficult for you to digest. I don't know.
True, man. Okay, this is where I flip the script, bro, and let you ask me anything at all that comes on your mind, anything.
Okay.
One or two questions.
Where are you gonna eat dinner tonight?
That is your question, bro.
That is my question.
Definitely that mall. What is it called?
Main place.
Yeah.
I used to come here. Do you know that?
What?
Yeah, because my college is not that far down, so like we come here for lunch.
Shit, you must be bored of this place, huh?
I'm so bored of this place, man.
I mean, I ran out of ideas where to eat, man, so I can't really think of one. Anything but junk food. Anything but fast food.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your deal with fast food?
It just makes me feel like shit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
When's the last time?
My body is very sensitive to food.
Okay.
I feel food, you know?
Okay.
If I eat, I'm not trying to sound like health conscious or anything, but if I eat right, if I eat a salad bowl with like salmon, for example, I'm gonna feel like I can conquer the world. But if I eat burger from McDonald's, I'm gonna just like feel like shit. And
when was the last time you had junk food? And what was it?
It was definitely McDonald's.
Okay.
It is, but to the exception of sausage McMuffin, man.
Oh, so it's
sausage,
the breakfast menu.
Egg McMuffin, yeah. That breakfast menu is like teh tarik plus that, $6. Right. Bucks.
when did you eat?
It's definitely this year.
Okay.
Yeah, but the reason why I try to avoid it because I will just like have a shitty day.
Okay.
So if it's not a serious day, if it's not like a, if there's nothing going on, then I'll actually go for sausage egg McMuffin. Yeah. But if not, then
in your opinion, I mean, as much as you hate junk food, who has the best breakfast menu?
It has to be like fast food?
Yeah, between fast food chains. Who has the best breakfast menu?
I don't know anything apart from sausage egg McMuffin. If you're talking about breakfast menu, yeah.
Okay, so are you stick to what you like and that's it?
Yeah, that's in terms of junk food, yes.
Okay.
In terms of fast food, yes.
But then with other foods, you're...
I don't really stay with one thing because I get bored of things very quickly.
Yeah, but fair.
I know the fact that salads, bowls, poke bowls and all that stuff that is like... totally hippie.
No, I mean,
totally like people label it as poshy, and you're like they make fun, they make memes out of avocados, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
So, but it feels good, man. It feels really good eating right.
I mean, but that's like that. I was just about to say, like, fuck what people think, right?
Yeah.
If it makes you feel good, then eat it.
Yeah, and also it costs a lot, so.
Well, yeah. What made you want to start doing a podcast?
Okay.
Sorry, I mean, have you been asked that question before?
Yeah.
Damn it.
But
damn
okay, it. Okay, I'll go for it. If
you like films, right?
Yes, I do.
Favorite director, go.
Just because, like, I've recently saw his interviews, Tarantino.
Okay. Just favorite Tarantino film?
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs. Okay, yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reservoir Dogs. Hateful Eight. And I'm yet to see the recent one.
Once upon a time in Hollywood.
Yeah. Just because like that is fresh in my mind. The fact that Tarantino made it big because he doesn't give a fuck about what anyone says. You know.
I feel like that's a recurring theme with the people that you admire. So you just like people who just don't give
because
a fuck.
Because I don't give a fuck, man.
Okay.
I really do not give a fuck, which is. which has sort of bring me into a lot of trouble, give me a lot of trouble in the sense of, oh fuck, he just hit the bike.
Yo, he just hit the bike. Oh, fuck.
He's on drop.
No, he's good.
His car is bent, bro.
Is it really?
Yeah, his car. It's a cancel, bro. What were we talking about?
You were talking about Tarantino films.
Yeah, I mean the recurring themes of the people.
People that you admire, not giving a fuck, and you said that it's gotten you into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Like usually the Matahari.
Right.
Usually when there's a round table, what do you think about this thing? Everyone is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like.
You usually have the most chaotic answer.
Because I don't. It's like everyone is just faking it, bro. You can tell.
Right.
You can tell.
Oh,
man.
So you can tell if I'm faking it in the.
Yeah. I just don't like rules and I can't. But that doesn't say that I'm a lunatic. I'm
yeah,
just against all the rules. All these rules are man-made for a reason, to make us stay in a box,
yes,
and to make us feel small so that we don't grow and achieve something bigger than we're meant to be, you know? That's why I told Arif, hey man, wow, you are filtering yourself or something, because I can feel that he's more than that. He's more talented.
Yeah,
he has a lot more to offer if he goes all the way.
If given
the chance to be the assistant director in this play, that the advice that I'll tell him is that.
That's
okay,
true.
That's that. If you could have a cup of coffee with any dead musician, who would it be and why? And what kind of conversation would you have with them?
If I could have a conversation with any dead musician.
Man, I don't think any dead musician would want to be brought back to life just to have a cup of coffee with me. But if I were to subject anyone to that, it would be Ryo Fukui. He's a Japanese jazz pianist, self-taught. He died, I can't remember which year, but not too recently. And like he spent like the last few years of his life sort of playing at this club in Japan, this jazz club, and yeah, I just I want to know how he got to that level and how he got the confidence to be able to, you know, put out that that record, it's called Scenery, knowing that he was self-taught, especially in a genre like jazz where it's like, you know, it's so like, it's not snobby, but like people take jazz really seriously, you know? And I mean, not to say that, you know, there aren't any self-taught jazz musicians, but like, I just, it's really commendable what he did, I think. And I would love to sit and have a cup of coffee with him.
Get into his head.
Yeah, really just pick apart his brain.
Damn. Man, Ian, I feel like you are one of the most talented and rawest person, creative that I've ever met.
Thank you. I mean,
you have yet to achieve or dive deep into your fullest potential, I feel, and there's a lot I can gauge for you.
Okay.
If you go all out and just keep at it, you will be bigger than you expected, man.
Thank you.
Really, bro. Like, for real.
I appreciate
it. That is why I would die for you to produce the stuff that is in my head.
Oh, really? Okay.
For this one track. You know, people will be like, hey man, let's collaborate.
Okay.
But it's a whole fucking album and it's a lot of effort and shit.
Right.
But let's just make one track. Let's just make one random song together, man.
Sure.
Yeah. 2019. Yeah.
Oh, as in this year?
This year.
Why not? Wawasan 2020, bro.
Next year, you mean? Oh, I mean this year.
Yeah. Well,
what does that mean? Wawasan 2020, like, is a vision for next year.
Vision for next year?
Okay. So we write a song titled 2020.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, sure.
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it.
Okay, thank you so much for being part of Hello
Kopi
Kamilo podcast. And the rain is here, and we are about to go to Mataharia. So
yes.
Appreciate your existence, bro.
I appreciate
Thank you so
too.
Much.
Thank
and
you.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Good job, bro.
Thank you.
Good job.
That was really fun. That was really fun. No, seriously.
Hello, Kopi Kamilo podcast. My life goes so well.